That, yes.
That's not only women. That's, yes.
Yes,
that is.
Be'ezrat Hashem. That is what we say, we're supposed to say every night, and Shema Alamita. It's a part of Shema Alamita, that we forgive everybody. You know, it's very easy to say, it's not easy to do. Some people we hate. But the general idea is that the whole basic thing is that we have the power to change the world. And that change the world for the better, not for the for worse. And that's what we have to understand and realize. Our mission as Am Yisrael is to spread peace all over the world, even to our enemies. But it doesn't mean that we are stupid and we're going to let our enemies to do bad to us. Haba le'orgecha, ashkem lo'orgo. If somebody comes to kill you, you're going to kill him first. But from the other point of view, we don't hate men, people, because they are people, but because what they do sometimes. In other words, itamu chata'im min ha'aretz ve'lo chot'im. The sins, not the sinners. The sinners should do tshuva and become tzaddikim. That's what we want. This is our general idea. And now we're standing before Rosh Hashanah, before Chodesh Elul, and we are being summoned to the Beis Din. We all know when we get summoned to a Beis Din here, to the court, how do we feel? And it can be a stupid thing. It can be only to witness something or to testimony, or it doesn't matter what, and we already trembling. Now imagine we are going to stand in front of God, the Almighty, and He's going to decide what's going to happen the next year. How should we feel? The Rav Pinkus Zatzal says a beautiful thing. You have two ways of tshuva. The first way is the difficult way. Do tshuva. It's very simple. It sounds very simple, but we all know it's not easy. Now, each one of us got his own problems, and in not easy to fix everything. Oh, how can I do it? But says the Rav Pinkus a beautiful thing. At that time of Chodesh Elul, the King of all kings, the Almighty, He comes down. Doesn't mean that He's not here all time. He's all time here, but His presence now is double. In other words, He is now like a loving father. They call it a melech basadeh. The king is in the field. It's like, you know, when you want to have a meeting with a king, you need to approach one guy and then another and the bureaucracy behind it. And then maybe you will have a meeting with the king in his palace and you have to dress specially and prepare yourself. And you have to wait months and maybe sometimes even years. But there are times that the king goes to see what's happening with his people. And at that time, he is open to hear everybody, and you don't have to make a special appointment. Now, who is stupid enough to miss this opportunity when the king is right near him and wants to listen to him with no appointments or going through all the ministers and the clerks? This is a melech basadeh, it's Chodesh Elul. The king, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, our Father in heaven, comes down like a loving father. He wants to hear us. But what does he want? The first thing. Imagine to yourself a father that didn't see his son for a whole year. And now they meet. And the father is opening his arms after not seeing his son for so long, for a whole year. And imagine to yourself the son turning around and going away. What would you say? Says the Rav Pinkus, at that moment, what you have to do is run to Father and embrace Him when He embraced you. And that is what we're supposed to do in Chodesh Elul. Ani ledodi vedodili. That's the Rashi Tevot. Ani, I am to my uncle is to me. In other words, I am to my father and my father is to me. Love. Love God. Show Him that you love. Show Him that you care. Now He's telling you, you cannot turn over. Show Him that, yes, I love you, God. Then, all the other stuff, it's much easier. Because we all know, if sometimes we did something wrong to our parents, and we came and asked for forgiveness, and we did it with a bunch of flour, with a nice present, showing our love, how did our parents act? Even if we did something very wrong, they are still our parents, they love us. And the same way is when our children will come to us, if they did something wrong, and they will come us, we ask your forgiveness, and they will bring you a nice present, and they will come, we love you and hug you. What would you do? Would you forgive or not? So you can choose the hard way, do tshuva, in the normal way, which is the hard way. And you can choose the way of love. Give God back his love. If you show God your love, everything is going to be much easier. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to do tshuva. Of course you're supposed to do tshuva. But in order to be on the safe side, the first thing is, I understand what's coming in front of me. Re'eh, look at this picture. Half on the mount of the curse, half of the mount of the blessing. In other words, why did they do it this way? To show us our power, that the world is balanced. Half-half. If we imagine to ourselves, re'eh, look, see this picture in front of our eyes and understand that each act that we're going to do now is going to change everything. What would we choose to do? Good or bad? To choose good. That's the idea of re'eh anochi noten lifnechem hayom et habracha ve'et haklala. And now, if you have any question, we can go on with the shiur, of course, but we can also go, if somebody looks through the parsha, can ask question. You know what? You can ask question about anything you want. Open discussion. Oh, anybody please. Wants? Yes.
Concerning respecting other people's feeling and not to try not to offend anybody, they have to be true for the whole time and learn from your mistakes and that develop your interpersonal abilities in respecting other people's feelings.
Definitely, definitely. You're supposed, you know, when we say about Chodesh, talking about Chodesh Elul, somebody think, okay, I'll wait for Chodesh Elul. I do whatever I want. No, that's not the case. Every time and every day, it says in our parsha, this is also one of the things that is written in Re'eh. Re'eh anochi noten lifnechem hayom, today. And then the parsha is saying, again today. What is today? What is the most important day in life? Today. Some people say Yom Kippur or Shashana. Yeah, they're right, but they're wrong. Because what happened yesterday happened. What happens today is in my hand. What's going to happen tomorrow, I don't know. But, you know, somebody says, okay, live the moment. That's wrong. We don't live the moment unless it's connected to the past and to the future. What do I mean? If I say, I live the moment. So as we talked about things in the past already, I am diabetic. Baruch Hashem, I'm not. I used to be, I'm not anymore. Baruch Hashem. But let's say I'm diabetic and I go near conditor shop and he's got this beautiful cake. You know, sometimes you have those things, they look so good. And you, I want to eat it, but I'm not allowed to. But I want to eat it. Now, what am I going to do? I say, leave the moment. What do you care? Take the cake, eat it. What's going to happen later? You're going to go to hospital. In other words, you cannot live the moment without connection with the past and the future. In other words, when we say Hayom, this is the most important day, the meaning is it has to be connected to the past, to our fathers, and it has to influence the future. If we look at it this way, so today is the most important day. There is another interesting thing. When we ask God, Kerachem av albanim, you should have mercy on us like a father on his children. So I saw a very interesting question. Why is it as a father, or why not like a mother? Who is more merciful, a mother or a father? A mother normally. So why would we say like a father? So they bring a very interesting story. This kid comes to his mother. He wants a banana. So the mother gives him a banana. He eats, he likes it. Very tasty. He wants another banana. The mother gives him another banana. Then he wants another banana. His mother says, you're going to be ill. You're going to be sick. I want a banana. I want a banana. And the mother gives him another banana. Now he already had three. Now he wants another one. His mother says, no, I'm not going to give you. You're going to be sick. You're going to be ill. You're going to blame. You weren't going to vomit. You're going, who knows what you're going. It's bad for you. And he's like, hey, mommy, I want a banana. I want. What do you think is going to happen? She gives him another banana. And what's happened the next thing? He's ill in bed. Now the same thing with the father. The two bananas are the same story. The child asks, the father gives. The third banana, I want another one. He says, no, it's not good for you. I want another one. No, it's not good for you. Maybe I'll be a few father that maybe in this situation, after a lot of crying, will give in. But I definitely, the fourth banana, they're not going to get from the father. Now what's going to happen? He's going to cry. No, he cannot go to the mother. Mother's not at home. The bananas are here. Father is here. Mother not at home. Only father. Okay. He's crying. Oh, I want banana. Says, you're not going to get a banana. You can cry your heart out. No banana. So he's crying. After 5 minutes, he stops crying. Goes out and plays with his friend. Everything is forgotten. Now, who is more merciful? The father or the mother? That's why we ask, Kerachem Aval Banim. Because, you know, we ask a lot of things. Not everything is good for us. So we have to understand that we want only the good.
In most families, it's the mother that's the disciplinarian and the father gives in. I mean, at least in my family, it was always that way. I was a strict one. My husband, whatever they asked him, he gave them. So
is that, normally, I must tell you that normally in life, when I look, a mother is more, in a lot of things in life you will see, she's softer. The father is harder. Maybe things are changed, but we are talking generally speaking. Definitely our father knows exactly, our father in heaven knows exactly what to give us and what not to give us. So why do we say, Kerachem Aval Banim? A father is the one, you see, the mother is more connected to the child. For example, when the baby is crying, who is the first one who's going to get up for the baby? The mother or the father? You know, I don't know, maybe you had an unbelievable relationship and in every generalization there is a thing that go out. What can I say? I know that when our babies cried, my wife woke up for them. And I'm not saying I didn't, but she was the first one. She heard them.
Analogy.
She heard them even if I didn't hear them.
But that's not a good analogy. When a baby cries and wakes up.
No, I'm not saying the idea is, we're not looking at it from the point of view if it's good or bad now. The idea is who is going to give up and who is not going to give up.
And the child knows it.
The child of course knows it. He knows. If the father is the one who gives up, so he's going to run to the father. If the mother is the one who going to give up, he's going to run to the mother. Of course he knows it.
But this leads me to another question.
Yes.
When you read in the Siddur, it's always addressed to the masculine. It's addressed to the man.
Okay, so what do you say that you don't have to do anything?
No,
you understand, but you understand. I understand what you're saying. But you understand that you're supposed to do the same thing as the man is supposed to do. So why is the Torah telling it in a male way? For a very simple reason. As I told you in the past, on the when you learn a little Kabbalah, you understand that how was man created? How was human being? How was Adam HaRishon created? Man and female together. And now this power is in each one of us.
But they weren't created together. The woman was created from the
man. No. Definitely not.
Oh?
Definitely not. Ma pitom. Zachar u'nekeva bara. That's a mistake that a lot of people think. But it's written very clearly. Zachar u'nekeva Abraham. The first creation was man and female together. Then he separated them. But the beginning is, if you have Bereshit here, I'll show it to you. I haven't got here Sefer Bereshit.
I shall read it at home.
Yes, read. Look in the beginning and you see, it's written very clearly, the beginning, Zachar u'nekeva bara otam. Then he took the tzela. What is tzela? That's another mistake. Tzela is a side. Tzela ha-mishkan temana. What is tzela ha-mishkan? And I never, you know why I remember this? The Rav Norgelshal once was asked this question on the radio. A woman went up and says that Torah goes against women and things. And then he told her this whole thing. And she didn't know what to say. Because she understood that the man was created first. Then the female was from him. Then he was taken from the rib. And he told them, I'm sorry to tell you, you're wrong. That's what people think. But if you read the Torah properly, you will find out that men and women, in other words, female and male, were created together as one human being. That's the first creation.
Like Siamese twins,
remember? Yeah, we can tell you, yeah. And then the tzela is side. In other words, That's what we say, achor upnim bra'ani. Forward and backwards, you created me. That's one of the part of the tefillah you find. Achor v'kedem k'ra'a. So a lot of people translate it in different ways. What's going to happen? No, the thing is that man was built achor upanim and panim. In other words, there was a side in front and a side on the back. In other words, they were connected. And what did do God? So one of the question is, so why did he do it? Why did God build human being as one unit and then separate it? What do you think? Because it doesn't, by the way, it didn't do it with no other animal. The only creation that was built man and female together and then separated was the human being. Why? Because the difference between us and animals is when we choose a wife, it's the half part of our neshama. It was connected to us. God connected us together. So in other words, men in Judaism, men and wife, the husband and the wife, are really a one part. In other words, when you find your wife or find your husband, you found your other half. Not like animals that can go with a lot of other animals. That's the difference between marriage, as the Torah looks at it, and as other people look at it. So in other words, the power of man, when we talk in the Torah about male, it's not the understanding that we're talking about a male. By the way, the whole Torah, when we learn only the surface, it's only, it's very hard to say it. It's not the whole thing. Because the real Torah is inside. And inside, it's not the story. It's what it means. In other words, when we read about the male and the female, it means the power. In each one of us, man or female, there are female powers and male powers. And that's why you see, by the way, you see people, sometimes men, that act like they are very feminine. Why? Because the part of the female is very strong. And you see women that are very strong, that the part of the male is very strong there. It doesn't change the fact that this is a man and this is a woman. It's talking about the powers. So when we look in the Torah and saying the power, because the power, the male power is the giving, and the female power is the taking or receiving. And in order to do something, we need both parts. Because like if there is nobody who is giving, so there nobody can receive. If there is nobody receiving, who do you give to? So that's why you need the both parts. And when you have both parts, then you can create new production. The same way as men and female go together and then they have children. A man cannot have children without a female, and a female cannot have children without a male.
Today they can.
Not yet. Well, not okay. Yet. Not yet.
But what about relationships that don't endure?
What do you mean?
You say that we meet our spouse. The one that is going forward.
Yes. When it's not, when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because you know, God sometimes organizes a thing in a certain way, but we choose different. That's the power that we have. Bechira chofshit. So sometimes, yes, the first shidduch is not the right shidduch. What can we do? It happens. You know, we do something. Otherwise, we've got nothing to do here. Everything is decided for us, so we'll sit and let everything move like it is, like destiny. There is a certain truth in it, but not all of it. In other words, sometimes a person has to go through a certain procedure in order to get to his right shidduch. And we see it happening. That's why in Jewish tradition, you can divorce. The Catholic, they don't divorce. They take it to the extreme. But we say, sometimes, what can we do? A man and women doesn't work together. So you can divorce and find your half. Maybe you didn't find your half in the first time. But if you do all the right things and you go in the right way, Be'ezrat Hashem, you will find your right half. So Baruch Hashem till now, still the majority stay together. Still. It's changing, unfortunately. But that's the idea.
But in days gone by, they tried harder. Was it?
That's the reason it's so easy today, and the just go, okay.
It doesn't mean anything. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't earn enough money? I go. Oh, the soup is cold. I go. Yeah, it's very easy today. That's the problem.
It's a throwaway generation.
Yes, yes. It's like satisfaction all the time. New satisfaction. You have this. Okay, I want another thing. Okay, that's why we learn. That's why we try not to be like this. And that's why we try to educate our kids not to be like this. I hope that we'll be at least a little successful. Because yes, unfortunately, when we look around, it's very easy today. First of all, there are a lot that don't get married at all. They live together. Then you have those who get married after 5 years going together, and 2 years later they divorce. And then you have all the other couples that get to a certain age. It's very, like, now it's unbelievable what's happening. You know, you see couples that get to a certain age. It's okay. I had enough. Well, we'd be the same guy all the time, the same woman, the same man. I want to go in my way. I want to find something else. I want to prosperous. I want to... In old times, you didn't have it. Yes, unfortunately, this is a part that we don't like so much, and it's happening today. But our job is to try and fight it, each one in a small way. To let the children know it's not like this. Marriage is much more than just something physical. It's a connection. It's a deep connection. And if you haven't got this deep connection, you have a problem. You can fight. And by the way, a couple that doesn't fight, you know, my father, Lava Shalom, always used to say, you know, you had this couple, puchi, muchi, kuchi, puchi. I said, this is not going to stand. This is not real. Because if you care about somebody, you fight. That's life. What can you do? That's life. In other words, of course, you have to fight, but you have also to know you don't go to bed after fighting. And that's exactly our job in life. But if there is no fight, there is nothing, it's like we say, love without jealousy is not love. People sometimes, when I say this, what do you say? I said, what's jealousy? Jealousy is to care. I'm not thinking about extremes. I'm talking about caring about somebody. And if you care about somebody, you're jealous. If he does something that doesn't go with you, you're jealous. If he decides sometimes to go on a trip with friends and not with you, you're jealous. Why? Because you care. Of course, people sometimes take this jealousy to extreme, which is also not good. But the Rambam said already, everything in the middle. Don't be extreme here and don't be extreme there. Be in the middle. So I hope that all of us will, because what's the time? I think we went over the time.
You
yes.
just answered another question I've always wondered in the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
When God says, I'm a jealous God. A jealous God.
Baruch Hashem. All this was very, very nice.